This is the lecture for March 1996. It is titled, The Seventh Stage to Salvation. To understand this seventh stage, one question has to be asked first. How many people has God designed to be saved? That is, to attain to the very glory of God and to become members of the family of God, because that's what salvation is all about in the Holy Scriptures. There are many scriptures, verses, that show the extent of salvation as far as people in the world are concerned. But let me give a few deductive scriptures to which all the others must conform. For one, the Apostle Paul made the dogmatic statement that there are two groups of people on earth, and he uses the term here concerning salvation of these two groups. The statement that he is talking about involves the people of Israel, but it also involves the Gentiles. Now, when he talks about Israel, he means all 12 tribes. And when he talks about the Gentiles, he means all the rest of the Gentile tribes. Many people have misunderstood the scripture that I'm going to quote, but it includes all Israel, and it also includes all the Gentiles. Now, this is a deductive scripture. By that I mean, from this scripture, you can then deduce what Paul's teaching, theological teaching, is concerning salvation and the extent of salvation. And there are many other verses in the scripture that will conform to this one. It's Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and on through down to 36. But let me quote, first of all, 25 and 26 of Romans chapter 11. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. He is talking here about a great secret, a secret that God has kept to himself for some time, but now, in the New Testament period, was making it known to mankind through the apostles of Christ and through the apostle Paul. And Paul did not want the Roman Christians to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, he talks about a blindness here, and it's only a partial blindness that Israel has, because there were some back there in the time of the Apostle Paul, I mean some Israelites, who had accepted the message of Christ, obviously. Even Paul himself was an Israelite. The apostles were Israelites. Though Luke was a Gentile, still he had accepted the message, but there were, you see, Israelites who had accepted the teachings of Christ, which lead to salvation, even back there in the first century. That's why he says that blindness in part has happened to Israel. But then he says, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Here is one verse that is very much misunderstood by people, because the word fullness actually means just exactly what it says. If you take a bottle and it's empty and you fill it full of water, you fill it to its fullness, then you fill it as far as you can, can't you? It means the totality. It means all. Nothing is left out. So instead of saying partiality here, it means until the totality of the Gentiles come in. They are going to be a part of salvation too, and we are going to see more of that as we quote the scriptures this afternoon here. What we find is that it doesn't stop, however, with the Gentiles. It goes on to say in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now, I'm not the one that stated that. That's the Apostle Paul. And by the way, he did it under the inspiration of the living God. He did it under the inspiration of the Spirit. These are words here which must find fulfillment. They absolutely represent the Word of God. They are His promises. There is coming a time when all Israel will be saved. But you know who's going to be saved before all Israel? It says the Gentiles will. But it also says the totality of the Gentiles. That's what it says in the Scripture when you get it in a proper translation. Now, it doesn't mean that all Israel will come along immediately right here. He says they're partially blinded. Blinded by whom? By God himself. In the previous two chapters here, and leading up to this chapter 11, the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, 10, and 11, shows that it is God who has blinded the minds of Israelites, so that many of them will not understand the truth, no matter if you talk to them plainly, clearly, and simply about it. They will not see it. And that also applies to many Gentiles as well. But however, though it is God who brings the blindness, it is also He that brings the enlightenment. It is he that can take the scales off the eyes and allow people to hear through the ears what the truth really is. He is the one responsible for all of these things. And as far as salvation is concerned, he talks about the fullness of the Gentiles coming into salvation. He talks about all Israel shall be saved. Now, you know what that does? That's the reason I say this is a deductive scripture. It shows right here at the very beginning that all will be saved, whether you are a Gentile or whether you are an Israelite. Now, you can look around you at the present time and you can see many Israelites, Jews, and others that are not saved. They do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, this is a requirement that all must accept. But, you know, it is up to God to give the knowledge of the truth to anybody. The reason that you and I are listening to the message of God at the present time is because we have been graced with a knowledge by God. And not only that, we have been given something for a long time ago, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, to come into a knowledge of Jesus Christ at this present time. You and I are privileged to be in that particular position. The vast majority in the world, whether they are Jews, Israelites, or whether they are Gentiles, are not accepting Jesus Christ at the present time. But they all will. All are destined to come to salvation. We will see that even delineated a little bit more as we go along here. Verse 26 again, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Now, it didn't say a partiality. It said all, and it means all. And that includes Judas, as a matter of fact, because he was an Israelite, wasn't he? Now, he's going to have to conform to the teachings of God, but who is the one that allows the teachings of God to be given to any individual? It is God. It is Christ Jesus. Well, God the Father, really. So we find that all people are going to be given mercy. They're going to be given understanding. They're going to be given through grace the teachings of God. And they're going to understand what the seventh stage of salvation is all about. This seventh stage that we're going to be talking about here has to do with the understanding of knowledge. What I want to do at the very commencement here of this lecture is to show you, and with the scriptures that I will give in just a few moments, that all people are destined to be saved. But all must come to a knowledge of the truth. All must come to a knowledge of the truth like you have. Even you and I and the rest of us must grow in grace and knowledge. And though we have a knowledge of Christ and who he is, and that is sufficient for salvation, still there is much more knowledge that we understand. Should understand. And it will put us in a particular position if we are in the seventh stage of salvation. I'll tell you what that seventh stage is. It is a position in which you have so much knowledge of understanding of the truth that you then can understand what all the others here on this earth at the present time are trying to reach to, which you have already attained. That is the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what salvation is all about. In the books of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, you will find the advanced teachings of the Apostle Paul. They are there given to the people of the seventh stage of salvation, which involves knowledge, so that you may know just exactly what the completion of salvation is all about that most people in the world at the present time do not understand. Now, they do not understand it because of their own lack of wisdom. Many people in the world may have more knowledge and understanding about certain things than you and I do. But unless their minds are open to the truth, then they are not privy to the advanced knowledge of what God is doing with mankind. The seventh stage of salvation will show a person, and if you are in that stage, and you are, all of you who are listening to me, what it means is that you know why you are here. You know who you are. You happen to realize that you are already a child, and it doesn't mean an infant. It means an adult, mature child of the living God, and that Jesus Christ is our elder brother, and that we are a part of the family of God. Then all of us are in Christ at the right hand of God at the present time in a legal sense. And when we die and are resurrected from the dead, we will then be in the very family of God, with a new type of body, just the kind of body that Christ has at the present time, composed of spirit, but very substantial. And you and I can have this knowledge that most people in the world do not know. Now, I talked about the seventh stage of salvation. If there's a seventh stage, then there must be a sixth, there must be a fifth, and on back to the first. Now, I've talked about these stages before, and I will rehearse them just a little bit later on, but I want to show you about the seventh stage here. And the seventh stage means a knowledge and an understanding given to you and to me that shows the fullness of what the gospel of Christ is all about that most people in the world are unaware of. In actual fact, almost all the people in the world that are in the various stages, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, they have a knowledge of God to a certain extent. In fact, the second stage knows more than the first, the third more than the second, the fifth, the sixth knows more than the previous ones, and the seventh knows the apex of understanding and knowledge concerning what salvation is all about. But the salvation itself goes back to the first stage. It's not something that the people of the first stage are not a part of the salvation process, but we are all a part of the salvation process. And in actual fact, every single one of us living today has gone through these six stages, or seventh stage that we're in now, whether we realize it or not. Some of them have been very quickly, you see what I mean, because of where we are, who we are, the knowledge that we have, the ability to read, be literate in the scripture. And people, let's say, in China at the present time, it doesn't mean that they're any less intelligent than we are, but they're not in an environment in which of knowledge in which God has placed them so that they can have the advantage of growing as fast as you and I do. Because we have the scripture in our hands all the time, don't we? In fact, we have more than that. We have all types of translations of scriptures. Now, they're not always accurate, that's quite true, but you know, you can find out the truth on most of anything if you want to, because here in these United States and in the Western world where most of us are at the present time, the ability to learn of the scripture is right there in our midst, and it's a wonderful thing for us to have. This matter of the stages has to do with knowledge. That's what it has to do. The salvation is the same, but it's knowledge given to various people at various times. And the knowledge is like a high school, or I should say like a school leading up through high school to college and then into postgraduate work. That is what it's all about. It's a matter of knowledge. And when you understand the truth, where you come to the seventh stage, then that makes you an adult Christian. You can look back and see what's been happening in your own life or what's been happening in the history of the world or what is presently occurring in the world with the various religions and denominations of Christianity and so forth, and you're able to put them into a proper context. It involves knowledge. But in order to understand about the seventh stage, you've got to realize that all of the people in the world, both Israel and the Gentiles, you see, both of them, the totality of the Gentiles, and all of Israel, see the terms there, totality and all, that the Apostle Paul is using in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. He means that they are destined to salvation, but they do not have salvation or the knowledge of salvation at this present time. And the reason they don't is because God does not want to give it to them. Now, you might ask, why doesn't he want to? He has a plan that he's working out here below. And this plan is to develop individuals from one stage to the next until they can understand what it's like to be in the very family of God, to rule and the totality of this universe in the future. And he knows what he's doing. That's why he gives us some 70, 80, 90 years here, 100 years, to be able to live and to experience life. And some of us experience life with less knowledge than others in the spiritual realm, and some with more knowledge than others. But we're all in the same boat, every single one of us who is a human being born from Adam. We are in the various stages leading up to an understanding of why we are here. And eventually, and I'm going to show you some scriptures on this in a moment, eventually every single person there is in the world will know the totality of the gospel of Christ. In the mature sense, they will all finally come to a seventh stage. But the seventh stage that you and I now have, and in a way which is a wonderful thing, is something that all people will eventually come to. And the stage that we're in at the present time is really an inadequate one compared to what we're going to learn in the resurrection. You see there? Because when we're really sitting on the throne of God in Christ, next to the Father, with our spiritual bodies, with our minds renewed and all of that, well, we're going to come into a stage of a spiritual development, which is even going to put this into a relative immature stage altogether. But you and I can be in this advanced stage of knowledge and understanding concerning what salvation is all about in regarding the human race. The human race has been created for one particular purpose and one purpose only, and that is all of them, every single one, all races, everybody, it makes no difference who, that has ever been born, has been born for the reason of entering the kingdom. I should say, yes, kingdom, but mainly the family of God, the family of the living God. That's why we're here. And what is salvation? Is to enter that very family. Now it says, all Israel shall be saved. That means eventually they will be. The totality or the fullness of the Gentiles shall also come in, and they're going to be saved. Going on in verse 26, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now that's Jacob right there, that's Israel. Now it's not Israel that's going to turn away ungodliness from Israel. It is God who is going to turn away ungodliness from Israel or from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. They're not going to take away their own sins. God's going to take away their sins from them. That's what he says. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Isn't it something that says, for your sakes, they are enemies? We shouldn't go around hating Israelites or anything like that because God made them the way they are, and they are enemies for our sakes at the present time. But as touching the election, that is, God that gave back their long years ago, they are beloved of the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as you in times past, you Gentiles, have not believed God, and that refers to every single one of you listening to this lecture of mine today, as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now, Paul is speaking to the Roman Gentiles here because the teaching of God eventually, or first of all, came from the Jews, came from Israel. That's what he's saying. But the Gentiles had obtained mercy because God opened the mind of the Gentiles. Even so, he says, as you have come to a position of mercy, so have these also now not believed, that is in the past, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. So up to, you know what we Gentiles should do? Is to give the gospel message back to the Israelites. That's what he's saying here. That's why I've been trying to do it over the years. And that's why you've been trying to do it. Because they need the gospel. We all need the gospel. But through our belief, they can then have mercy, you see. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Mercy is coming to all. That's both Israelites and Gentiles. But you know, to have mercy given to you, it means you've got to have mercy needed, you know, and you need mercy. And to live in this world here means you can't live very long without asking for mercy from God in one way or another. And this is a life of experience that each one of us is given here. And you have obtained mercy in the understanding of these things, of the gospel. And you know, all the Gentiles will obtain mercy in the understanding of the gospel in their own time periods. And God says, I will also give all Israel an understanding. That means all, past, present, future, individuals, so forth. They're all going to obtain mercy. And the result is going to be that the totality of the Gentiles will come in to salvation, and all Israel will come into salvation. So that means the totality of the world, doesn't it? All right, through Christ Jesus. And it also says that it is God who is the one that allows people to believe or not to believe. So we have no reason to go around and criticize others who do not believe what we do. That is your next door neighbor or whoever it might be, or your relative that you wanted to get converted and so forth. Well, try to pray for them, that's right, but it's up to God whether or not they come to the truth. And the decision was made a long time before, as we're going to find out is going on. In other words, all people are eventually to be saved through the mercy of God, not through the mercy of man. As a result of that teaching, Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, that is God, and he be recompensed unto him again, or repay back to him? But look at that verse 36, which concludes this section on salvation. For of him, that means of God, coming forth from God in a Genesis sense, and through him, that means sustaining our existence at the present time, through him, and to him, that means toward him, are all things, all Gentiles, all Israelites. Then Paul ends it by saying, to whom be glory forever, amen. So we have in the scripture here a definite deductive type of scripture, section of scripture, which shows that it is God who, in his mercy, can lift the blinders off of people's eyes or place blinders on people's eyes. But eventually, he says, Paul does, under the inspiration of God, everyone is going to come to a knowledge of the truth, and all will eventually be saved. Now, we have that delineated with the clearest of words over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go there very quickly, because there is where we find it just made as clear as crystal that this is the case. And it involves all men, all people, every individual that there is on earth, who has ever lived since the time of Adam or whoever will live. Now, there's a process that we have to go through. You have to accept Christ. You have to repent of your sins. You have to confess Christ. You have to have faith. You have to believe. You have to do all of those things. Absolutely, you have to. What you have to realize, though, is that each one of those is a gift of God. Each one of those requirements, of those virtues, and it can be proved, I have many lectures and written material on this subject if you do not understand that. In other words, salvation is by grace and not by any of your works, no matter how good they are. And though we are ordained to good works, and we should be doing good works, none of the good works that we do is good enough for any of us to be saved. But we are to believe, yes, but it is God who allows us to believe. It is he that shows mercy to us. But look at this scripture over here about knowledge, concerning the knowledge that of God, the mature knowledge that he is giving through the Apostle Paul and the others back there. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Now I want you to notice that, with all men. Now is he here partialing out some here and there? I don't read that. As I see it, it says all men. And does he mean just all types of men, as some people say? Well, it means don't pray for some, you know, and pray for others. No, he doesn't mean that here. He means to be made for all men. That is, all men that you come in contact with, that you know about, everyone. Then it says, for kings. Now, that, he didn't say for some kings. He said for kings. And especially means, of course, those who are over you or our rulers. And for all that are in authority. Now, does he mean partially in authority, leave out this and leave out that? No, obviously he means all, and no one's going to argue, I don't think, on that. For all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. Or does he mean partial godliness and partial honesty? You see, I'm emphasizing the word all here, and you know by the context he means complete, he means totality, he means fully. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. Now I want to tell you, who, he says, our Savior, will have all men to be saved. Now I didn't say that. That is the Apostle Paul, who will have all men to be saved. And I'll tell you, there's only one way to be saved, and that's the way through Romans chapter 10. You ought to read that right there. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to accept Jesus. You've got to have faith. You've got to confess him. You've got to do those very things. But you know, it's not you doing it when you really read the rest of the Bible, because it is God who works in you both to do and to perform of his good works. And that is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. You ought to mark that scripture down. It's a very important one. It goes on to say, who will have all men to be saved? But there's one other factor here that must be mentioned. And that involves this matter of the seventh stage to salvation. Because all of these people who will be saved because they have knowledge. They have knowledge and understanding and wisdom. The blinders have been taken off of their eyes. And it says here, who God, that is Christ, God rather, will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now there you are. All are destined to become knowledgeable of the truth. Just think of anybody in the world right now that you know. Anybody that you don't like. Anybody that, in fact, you may even hate. And we shouldn't hate people, but you know, let's face it, we're human beings, aren't we? And you just think of anyone you want to. Good or bad, doesn't make any difference. That person that you're thinking about right now is going to come to a full knowledge of the truth of God and is going to be saved one of these days. That's right. Now, it didn't say tomorrow, did it? But he's going to be, or she's going to be saved one of these days. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, he's the possible one to get people saved. Who gave himself a ransom for all. All those kings up there that were mentioned. All those in authority that he mentioned. All those up there that need godliness, all people in the world, all of them, he gave himself a ransom for all. And it goes on in the King James Version to say, to be testified in due time. That last expression, in due time, is really a mistranslation in the King James Version. You know what the Apostle Paul actually said in Greek? For the Greek, he says, in its own seasons, in his or its own time periods. There are certain time periods that God has allotted for mankind to come to a knowledge of the truth, to come through the various stages. That's why when I mentioned about the seventh stage to salvation, or the six previous ones, someone could say to me, Ernest Martin, what gives you the authority to speak about seven stages to salvation, which I have not read anything about in Scripture? And I'm going to tell you here. Here they are right here. In their own time seasons, there are particular seasons in which God is going to bring salvation to all people and the knowledge of the truth to every single person. Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture for the second side of the seventh stage to salvation.